Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite scholars and personalities all across the world of Islam. I am Atta, the host of this program. I have two very special guest speakers for today's discussion, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As we know, the 14th day of the month of Khordad, which is the third month according to the solar calendar, is the demise anniversary of the late Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Revolution of Iran and Islamic Republic of Iran. That's why for today's discussion and the upcoming one, we want to dedicate the episodes of the program, The Teacher, to the scholar life of the late Imam Khomeini. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, let's start with you. Usually the political and religious aspect of the life of the late Imam Khomeini overshadows his scholar life. Let's be a little bit concerned about his scholar life, his writings, and his compilations.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, obviously, Imam Khomeini, named as Ruhullah, and his family was basically Musavi. He was from the descendants of Imam Musa Kazim alayhi salam. Obviously, he was born in Khomein, and his father was a scholar too. He belonged to a scholar family. His older brother was senior and a scholar too. So basically in his childhood, he got initial, we can say, like studies. He learned it through his father and the older brother. Also, his aunt, she had a big role in it. And later when he was moved, he studied the Hawza. And after that, what we can see about him is that he was one of the great students of the late Ayatollah Burujardi.
Yes.
And about his scholar life, when we talk about his scholar life, I would say that if I want to just summary his scholarly life, we can see Shahid Murtaza Mutahari, Muhammad Beheshti, and personalities like these to be the students of Imam Khomeini.
Yes.
And when such people are the students and they were so active in the Islamic Revolution, although we have a lot, things about Shahid Murtaza Mutahari.
Yes.
And the other scholars like, the other maraji, we can say, we have about them. It shows that in the time after the revolution, when we have these scholarly works from his students, definitely he himself was a great scholar. Mm-hmm. And there are many books, many books which are published by him. Many books there in Arabic, in Persian, although there are some books that are translated into English and Urdu as well, the other languages as well.
Maybe the most outstanding Shiite scholar of the 20th and 21st century whose works have been translated into English works.
Yes.
And the other languages.
And the other languages.
That's right.
And obviously he was and he is still.
Yes.
At this time, we don't have anyone who can beat him or be equal to him like in knowledge.
Yes.
So it shows his personality and scholarly value of the personality of Imam Khomeini.
When you take a look at his life, his scholarly life, you find it very much practical, Sheikh Rouhani, a person who has studied in the holy city of Qom and then the holy city of, we can say, Najaf and Karbala, okay? All, we could say that benefited from the presence of outstanding scholars over in both Hawzas. And now gradually he is organizing a type of new thought in the Islamic Hawzas and the Islamic seminaries of Islam. Wasn't it strange for an alim on that time to, I mean, scholarly speaking, to think about such works, producing such works? I mean, producing, for example, the thought of Velayat al-Faqih or other, for example, political thoughts?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you rightly mentioned, you know, in our Hawazat al-Ilmiyyah in Islamic or Shi'ite seminaries, we have had deep and comprehensive discussions on different kind of fields of studies, theories, and let's say, Hawzawi knowledges. But most of these kind of discussions or discourses that we have had were mostly theoretical.
Yes.
They were like scholarly or, let's say, scientific sort of debates and discussions among ulamas.
Yes.
And many of those ulamas were of the view that there's nothing related to politicians, for example.
Yes.
There were some of these scholars in the history. They did not try to, for example, establish a kind of political system. Mm-hmm. But Imam Khomeini is different from these scholars because when it comes to his works, to his scholarly life, we see that he brought those kind of discourses, scholarly discussions and debates into the daily affairs of life of
practice,
the people.
In fact, practice, from theory to practice.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. This is very much important.
Yes.
For example, we have had fiqh, jurisprudence.
Yes.
Imam Khomeini is also a jurist,
yes,
a faqih. We have had, for example, principles of fiqh, usul al-fiqh, which is discussed a lot in Hawazat al-Ilmiyyah. And we have had morality or ethics, interpretations, philosophy, theology, irfan, mysticism, all of them. Imam Khomeini also discussed and had many works in these fields of studies. But the point is that when it comes to practice, practically talking, how can we apply, for example, these mystical, let's say, rulings?
Yes.
Or rules in our life?
Mm-hmm.
How can we make a link between mysticism and politics?
Yes.
You know, how to apply those.
Very much difficult.
It's very difficult.
To find harmony between Irfan and, for example,
siyasa. Yes, of course. How, for example, how can we make a good link, a connection between philosophy, Islamic philosophy, and Islamic politics?
Yes.
To establish a political system based on these Irfani, mystical teachings and doctrines, philosophical teachings and doctrines. You see that if you go back to Mullah Sadra's works, many of his disciples did not bring us a kind of political interpretation of his philosophy.
Yes.
But it was Imam Khomeini, and after Imam Khomeini, some of his students, they tried to bring us new kind of theories based on philosophical works of Mullah Sadra.
Yes, this is very interesting.
Which was not considered a political philosopher.
Very good.
And also, for example, from Kalam Islami or Islamic theology, if you go back to Islamic theology, Shiite theology, you see most of the discussions are not that much related to the political issues. But the point is that, so how can we now, if you want to bring establish a political system, how can we base this system on this, for example, philosophy, theology, mysticism, jurisprudence, Islamic morality? Mm-hmm. You know, this is very much significant. It's very much difficult then, because in the modern time we have nowadays tens of schools of thought.
Yes.
You know, regarding morality, philosophy, theology, whatever. So if you want to bring a new idea, a fresh idea, a new system, it is really difficult.
Yes.
Because you have to know all these systems that already existed.
Yes.
And then you have to bring something new to the Muslim community, the Muslim society. That's why establishing a new modern political system based on Islamic teachings, particularly Shiite teachings in the modern world,
it was
not that much easy.
No, it was not.
And still it is difficult.
Yes. It is like a theoretician, for example, in physics, in chemistry, or in mathematics, who establishes a new formula or something like that. And based on that, so many scientific achievements are going to be made. So regarding the late Imam Khomeini, it was not merely the revolution on the streets, backed by the people on that time, the protest against Tawud or something like that. Theoretically speaking, it was very much strong, as you said, benefited from so many scholars before him in the previous generations. And then gradually a type of new system was organized in his thought. Really interesting topic for those who are interested, how the late Imam Khomeini benefited from Mullah Sadra's thought, to establish a government, or something like that. It's really a matter of discussion, a matter of research for those who are interested. Allah.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La
ilaha illallah. But Sayyid Mohsen, the late Imam Khomeini was also an arif. You know, he was a faqih and also an arif. How this irfani aspect of his life helped him to be successful in his revolution against taqut and the oppression against the people in that time?
Well, there is a main principle in the irfan that you need to reform yourself first. And once you reach to the destination, then you need to take the rest of the people on the same path.
Okay.
Which was said by obviously Mullah Sadra as well, which is min Allah ila al-khalq.
Yes.
Obviously, there are four.
The four journeys. That
the four journeys. Says. So basically, he has reached to that level, and after that, we can see in his speeches, you know, whenever he used to deliver the speech, you can see that he was talking about the divine.
Yes.
He was talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was talking about fearing God. To the politicians, to the managers, to the teachers, I don't know, to the, you know, army people, to whichever, you know, category of people or profession they used to go there. In his speeches, he had these things in it. And the focus was God and Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
And that's why we see that even after the revolution, when he talks about the revolution, he says that we got this revolution from Karbala. It is...
The main example
yes, was Karbala or the day of Ashur. Now, what was the Ashur basically? Ashur wasn't a political move.
Yes.
It was, we can say, like a movement for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was done by Imam Hussein alayhi salam to save the religion.
Yes.
So basically, when he made such role models for himself, obviously, it helped him to... Although being a mystic or an arif, I don't want to use the word mystic because it has different...
Yeah, arif is better.
Arif is better.
It's a rough translation of our mystic.
So being an arif, obviously, he knew exactly how to take a nation towards the same path. Now, this is also important that there are many arif or rafa,
yes,
but they don't know how to take a big number of people towards...
To capture the hearts.
Yes. To capture the hearts and, you know, to move them towards the right path.
The best example was during the imposed Iraqi war on Iran. See how many young people, although we could say that the age gap between the late Imam Khomeini and the young soldiers on the battlefields was many years, okay? Maybe more than 50 years, half a century. But how he captured the hearts of the youth on that time, and by just a simple sentence of the late Imam, the people were over there in order to defend their country.
If you refer to the book Jihad by Nafs, Jihad
yes,
Akbar,
yes.
There is a book.
Jihad is told.
In that, he has a statement. Now, this book is a very small book, and that is for the scholars, the Islamic scholars.
Yes.
And he says there that if an Islamic scholar does not reform himself, he should not enter into the, you know, into preaching.
Yes.
He must not perform preaching. Why? Because he himself is not reformed.
Yes.
When he's not reformed, he cannot teach people where to go. The reason is because he's saying something on which he's not practically working. So, you know, we have this al-alimu bil-amal, like al-alim, the scholar is the one who practices himself. In the Quran,
practice what he preaches.
Yes. And Allah, also in the Quran, this is the verse of the Quran that Allah says that, do you say to people something which you do not practice? So this is not the case because the prophets, the messengers of God who came for the guidance or the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, they practically used to do something which they used to say. So this was one of the greatest aspects of Imam Khomeini, that when he's emphasizing on such thing, it means that being an arif, being a scholar, being a jurist, he himself practiced all those things.
That's all right.
And about his own self, even when he became the supreme leader, he had an ustad of akhlaq, like a teacher for akhlaq, and it was one of his students. Now, for a person being a teacher, hiring his own student to teach him the akhlaq or ethics, you know, you need to give away your ego or You know, obviously you need to be so earthly, yes, towards earth, so that you can have someone like that to be your teacher.
That's right.
And to teach you the ethical and the moral, we can say, like, you know, terms or the lectures.
Especially Ayatollah Shahabadi, yeah, as his mystical teacher, as you said, Irfani teacher, had direct role. As I said, we have to dedicate another episode of the program, The Teacher, to the late Imam Khomeini, and now go one by one through his list. So let's shift it to our upcoming session of the program. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen and Sheikh Rouhani, for this episode of the program, The Teacher. It was very kind of you. As we said, the month of Khordad, especially the 14th day of the month of Khordad, is the demise anniversary of the late Imam Khomeini. That's why the whole month of Khordad is somehow influenced by his character, his works. So many programs, so many gatherings and ceremonies are dedicated to the late Imam Khomeini in this month in Islamic Republic of Iran and all across Muslim lands. May Allah bless the soul of this great man. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. The another episode. God bless you. Afiyah, man Allah.